Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm good, John. Man, when Jerome retired, I had a fear that I may never see him again. Because I see Jerome.
Oh,
all
you're
going to
see me.
I hope so.
See me at the stadium. You'll see me down at State Farm. I'll just have a beer in my hand.
Yeah, not wearing a suit anymore.
No,
plus, we'll probably drag him out of the woodwork every now and then. You know, I mean, I think so. Now that he's willing to do it, you know, I mean.
Well, I imagine my excitement when I came in the studio and saw Jerome. It's good to
see
you.
My man, Mike Conte.
Good to see you. Now there's a second person on this radio station who can back me up in any Penn State arguments that may unfold. So
they easily would have beat Iowa if their quarterback
doesn't get hurt. Even Fricky agrees with that.
I'm not opposed to it, though.
And I'll tell you what, John, I don't know how Mike feels about this.
I'm still mad about 1982 and Todd Blackledge, but that's another story.
And I would like to hear Mike's take on this. I would not be against somebody hiring James Franklin.
Oh, I'd be all for it. Go ahead.
Everybody keeps talking. Take him, please.
Well, and now LSU is attached to his name, and you know, he doesn't do anything to defuse these rumors because he doesn't outright deny it. But
he's great in front of a camera.
The problem is, Jerome, LSU has made it known that they want a coach who can win a national championship.
Well,
so that would probably disqualify James Franklin. But anyhow.
All right, I got to get back to United has this game. So I have 2 points. I want you to answer the second one later about whether or not the appeal on the Barco red card will work. Mm-hmm. But you're playing without Joseph. You go on the road. There are like 12 fans at the game. I don't know what happened to Toronto fans. They just quit showing up.
Ontario has very strict.
Oh, it might be the COVID thing.
Very, very strict protocols. I hadn't thought about that. Right now. Okay, so I think that had a lot to do with it.
Fine. We'll move on. The United plays a really good game. They caught a break. Guzan made a phenomenal save late in the game. I mean, just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But two really good, solid strikes for goals. And then the put away by Moreno. Really happy with what I saw on the pitch from this team in that game. Really happy.
Yeah, me too. And you're right that Guzan made a big save to basically preserve the win, but Bono, the Toronto goalkeeper, made 3 or 4 big saves as well. It probably should have been a 2-0 or a 3-0 game by the time it got to Guzan needing to make that save. That's how comprehensive I think Atlanta United's performance was on Saturday. The 2-0 scoreline may have even been a little bit unflattering to them. But this is a team that has struggled on the road all year. Now they have a third road win. It's a second road win without Joseph Martinez, which I think is going to give them confidence. It's important to win a match like that on the road, especially a chippy match, because you're probably going to have to go on the road in the playoffs. I mean, right now, Atlanta United is fifth. That would mean they would be on the road in the first round. In fact, if the playoffs ended today, they'd be at Orlando in the first round. So you need to develop some confidence that you can win in the clutch on the road. That's why what they did on Saturday in Toronto was so important.
Let me ask you about the red card to Barco. When I was back in grade school, the nuns used to send me off all the time. There was no appealing red cards with the nuns.
Did you get a ruler to the hand as well?
Well, you got more than a ruler.
Me too.
And the paddle to the backside, if you know what I mean. So was the play that vicious?
No. So it's controversial, and I think it's going to be appealed. I don't know if it'll be overturned. There was no, foul. There was no punch or anything like that. It was an altercation between Barco and Aro, who had been mixed up a couple times in the lead-up to their send-off. A couple, I think, hard fouls on the part of Aro. I'm sure Aro would probably disagree. But basically, they came together. The referee did not see it. The fourth official or the AR saw it and probably told the referee, you need to send them both off. I don't think there was a headbutt. I don't think any contact was made to the head or neck area. Those are, that's a black and white rule. If there's contact to the head or neck area or a headbutt, you're going to be sent off. I did not see that, but I would also say there were about 4 or 5 different skirmishes all going on at once, including that one. So I did not visibly see all of it.
Gut feeling you think if they appeal, it'll be overturned?
I do not think it'll be overturned because it's a judgment call by the referee. I think it's going to be very tough to overturn. You might as well try. You get a couple appeals a year. You're late in the season. You might as well try. The frustrating thing, Jerome, is it punishes Atlanta way worse than Toronto. Toronto's out. They're done, okay? They were eliminated from the playoffs with that loss on Saturday. But Barco now being out for a game at least, it takes Atlanta United's arguably best attacking player out of the lineup Wednesday night in a match that is really, really crucial against New York City, because if you win that match, now you're really starting to cushion the gap between you and the playoff line. So for Toronto, they don't care. I mean, they'd been trying to beat Atlanta United. Richie Larea had been trying to beat Luis Araujo into some stuff. They don't care. If they have a guy suspended, it's fine. Their matches remaining are meaningless. Atlanta United really bears the brunt of the penalty because they have five very important matches still to go.
All right, so let's talk about a final question on United, and I want to get to the Hawks. The five matches, three in a row at home, starts Wednesday night, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 7:30. You can listen to it, obviously, live on 90.9 The Game with Mike and Jason, NYCFC. Hopefully Joseph will be back in. It does sound like Barco's going to play. Mm-hmm. In these three home games that you have coming up in a row here, 7 points, a must.
I think 9 points are a must. When you say seven, I think you might be on the right track, John, because Atlanta United kind of got a bonus with a road win. You know, I think they were going into Toronto thinking, yeah, we want to win this, but if we get a draw, that's really good. That's going to keep us afloat. For me, I'm still going for a first-round playoff game. I mean, to just make the playoffs, yeah, you're right, John. If you get seven, you're going to be good. I want all nine because I want Atlanta United in a position where they could be the third or the fourth seed. They cannot drop points at home if they want that. So I look at these as three very winnable matches. New York City is injured, and they're starting to reel a little bit. They've been struggling. Miami is probably going to be eliminated by the time you see them. Toronto will definitely be eliminated by the time you see them. So you need to be able to get all nine of these points at home.
All right, let's switch over to the Hawks, our Hawks.
Yes.
I mentioned a few minutes ago, this is the most excited. Moved here in 86, most excited I've been about a Hawks season since I moved to Atlanta. Yeah. And that, no disrespect to Dominique or Joe Johnson or Josh Smith or Steve Smith, the great teams in the past. But, man, this team has something special ahead of it. What do they have to do, Mikey, in your opinion, to take the next step?
Wow. You know, the next step would be the NBA Finals, right? I mean, they were two wins away this year. And I've gotten that question a lot. And I think one of the things they need to do is just stay healthy.
Stay healthy.
You know, think about what the Hawks were able to do last year, even in the postseason with all the injuries that just kind of kept piling up. If they can stay healthy and you can get a DeAndre Hunter to the point where he can play 70 games this year and you can keep Trae Young in for like 75 games, John Collins for 75 games, this is going to be a really, really scary team for anyone in the Eastern Conference to deal with. But what's interesting, Jerome, is I feel like even if, God forbid, DeAndre Hunter has an injury setback, all right, well, you got Kevin Huerter, you got Cam Reddish. God forbid, John Collins suffers an injury setback. Oh, all right, you've got Danilo Gallinari. Even Trey, you know, if he has to miss a game or two, all right, you got Lou Williams and DeLon Wright. So I think Travis Schlenk has really done a good job shoring up, you know, the few areas where maybe the Hawks didn't have enough depth this offseason. I think if they stay healthy and if they play under control, which they showed us they can do last year in the postseason, sky's the limit for this team. Now, a lot of other teams in the Eastern Conference got better, I think. You know, Miami got better. Milwaukee, I think, will be just as good. Brooklyn, the Irving thing kind of clouds their picture a little bit. I think Philadelphia, if Simmons comes back, they will at least be as good as they were last year, if not better.
That could hang over them for half the season and really disrupt.
And Chicago, too.
Chicago, absolutely, John, yes. Chicago got better. Boston didn't get worse. They may have even gotten slightly better. It's possible the Hawks could be even better than they were last year and not end up in the four seed. I mean, that's how competitive I think the Eastern Conference will be. But unlike those Dominique teams where you had Jordan kind of standing in the way, or unlike that Millsap-Horford team where you knew LeBron was standing in the way, I think, you know, it's all kind of wide open for the Hawks this year, and that's what makes it exciting.
That backup point guard position is going to be so huge for him this
year. I agree.
Last year, it was patchwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, but boy.
But Lou's there, and I think Cooper's got great upside.
And DeLon Wright, too.
I hope you're both right.
Yeah.
I hope you're both right, because it seemed like they were a different squad out there whenever Trey went to the bench.
But they won a Eastern Conference Finals game without Trae Young. So it just goes to show you that in moments, Lou Williams can be that guy, and I think DeLon Wright can be as well.
And, of course, Mike and Jason on the call Wednesday night, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, NYCFC, Atlanta United. Final five games of the regular season, big game Wednesday night. And that'll lead us to the Hawks game at State Farm on Thursday night and the opener against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, all wrapped around the Braves. Yeah. Mike, you got 30 seconds. My real quick thing on the Braves is that just 2-0 lead, or is there something special with this team?
No, I think they're special. I mean, because they're finding ways to get it done in the clutch, right? And sometimes when you can do things that are unexplainable, you kind of wonder if their name's already on the trophy. So, look, we were here last year. I don't want to jump too far ahead yet, but you love the position you're in going out to L.A. where really you only need to win one of these next three. I got to be honest with you, though. I kind of feel like a sweep's on the table. I feel that
wow,
way.
Sweep.
I mean, wow. Look, they've you won five in a row dating back to the Milwaukee series. Well, you win two out of three, then it's all good. Let's go to the World Series. But I think one out of three, you'll be fine. But I expect they're going to do a lot better than one out of three.
All right. Mike, your lips to baseball God's ears there. All right. Thanks, Mike Conning. Man, okay. Man, do appreciate
good to see you guys. Jerome, good to see you.
Always good to see you, buddy. Yeah.